Okay, Veilch and Shushan Purim to everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Nun. We are holding already on daf Nun Amud Aleph. We got there yesterday on the top of daf Nun Amud Aleph. What we basically concluded with yesterday is we were discussing the halachas of a husband being machzik b'nichsei ishto, that if a husband is in his wife's property for X number of years, we say that he doesn't have a chazaka, he can't claim ownership just because he's been in the property, because of course he's been in the property. He has rights to the payros of his wife's nichsei malug. And therefore, that's not at all a proof of ownership. However, the Gemara had said, even though, and what we left off with really was, even though he doesn't have a chazaka b'nichsei ishto, haraya yesh, that if he does have a shtar, he does have edim that say that this property, that he has purchased this property, or that his wife gave him this property belongs to him, then he does own the property. We don't say that the woman could just say, nachas ruach hasisi labayli, that I wanted to make my husband happy, that we assume that on some level that there is a raya that he is able to bring that he owns the property. So we're going to begin today by questioning whether a raya really does work for a husband b'nichsei ishto. Is that really true, that a raya is going to work for a husband b'nichsei ishto? Then the Gemara is going to discuss a case within that same discussion. We're going to raise the issue of selling an eved on condition that he works for you for 30 days, and there's going to be a four-way machlokas in the Braisa, what the halacha is with regard to yomo yomayim. Halacha normally is when you own an eved and you hit the eved and he survives for 24 hours, that you're no longer going to be chayiv misa, even though he subsequently dies as a result of that strike. But that's only a din for the owner of the eved. It's not a din for somebody else. So what if you have sold the eved, but the deal is he's still going to work for you for another 30 days? Do you have a din of Yoma Yomayim, or do you not have a din of Yoma Yomayim? That's going to be a four-way machlokas in the Braisa, and it's going to revolve largely around the issue of Kinyan HaPeiros Kikinyan HaGufdami or Lav Kinyan HaGufdami. What that has to do with our sugya is because the husband in B'nichsei Ishto, in the Nichsei Maluk of his wife, also has a Kinyan HaPeiros. So that's the question. Is his Kinyan HaPeiros going to be considered? To what extent do we consider his Kinyan HaPeiros everything? And to what extent do we say, no, Kinyan HaPeiros is not everything? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to question in the reverse direction. We said a husband does not have a Chazaka B'nichsei Ishto. So whereas on Amud Aleph, we say, oh, Haraya Yesh, and we start questioning whether he really has a Raya, he really has the ability to bring a Raya that he owns his wife's property. On Amud Beis, we're going to question, is it really true that he doesn't have a chazaka, that he's not able to have a chazaka b'nichsei ishto? And that's going to lead us to a discussion of how of chazaka l'nezikin. Let's say a person damages someone else's property. So is that, do you never get a chazaka when you damage someone else's property, even if you do it for more than 3 years, because you were not machzik k'demachzik yinchi, and therefore the person didn't think they had to make a macha? Or do you immediately get a chazaka when you damage another person's property? Because no one would stay, even though a person might tolerate someone living in their property for 3 years, someone using their property for 3 years, no one would stand damaging their property for even a single second. So maybe the issue of chazaka when it comes to nezikin could go in one direction or the other. So we're going to have that discussion, Bez Hashem, toward the end of the daf. So we are holding on daf Nun Amud Aleph. We are at Ha'amar HaMeimar. So we're at Ha'amar HaMeimar, which is about five lines into the page. Ha'amar HaMeimar, ish vi isha shemachu b'nichsei malug, lo asu v'lo klum. So HaMeimar had said that if both a husband and a wife sell the nichsei malug, the sale is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. So this is questioning whether a raya really works for a husband b'nichsei ishto. So over here, what we're assuming this means when we say ish vi isha shemachru b'nichsei malug, that it's worthless, is that the man sold the nichsei malug and then the woman sold it afterwards. That's where it's lo asu klum, because the woman could say, I didn't really mean to sell the nichsei malug. I just know that my husband sold it to you beforehand, and I didn't want him to be upset with me, so I agreed to the sale as well. But I didn't really mean to agree to the sale, and therefore the way the Rashbam formulates it, the kol shekein izavna labayla de nachas ruach avda. Certainly, if she sells it to her husband, that we have the right to assume that she was just doing nachas ruach labayla. And therefore, this is a question on the idea that haraya yesh, that if the husband brings a raya, that he purchased it from his wife, then he actually is the owner of it, and we're going to trust that raya. So I asked the Gemara, no, even if she sold it to somebody else, after he had sold it to somebody else, we're not going to trust it. We assume that she's only doing nachas ruach labayla. Kal v'chomer, if she sells it directly to him, we assume she's just trying to make him happy, and that it's only nachas ruach that she's asa labayla. So that's the Gemara's question. So says the Gemara, ki itmar da meimar heicha dezavin ihu umis. Asya ihi umafka. No, we're misunderstanding Amemar. Amemar means to say not that if the husband sold it and then the woman sold it to that same guy that she could say nachas ruach hasisi lebayli. No, the case of Amemar is the man sold the nechasim and then he died. So she has the right to come and take those nechasim away from whoever purchased those nechasim. Similarly, inami zavna ihi umesa, if she sold the nechasim and then died, asahi ihu umapik, he's allowed to come and take it away as well, bitakanta drabanan, as a takana midrabanan, meaning, even though she is selling her portion in the nechse melug, and her portion in the nechse melug is the kinyan aguf, as soon as she's the one that owns the actual property, the husband only owns the kinyan peros. So on a daraisa level, when she dies, the guf should go to the person that she sold it to. Midrabanan, we allow the husband to take back the property. The husband could be motzi from whoever it is that bought it. There is a machlokas rishonim when the Gemara says that a woman who sells the nechse meluk and then dies, that the husband could be motzi miyad al kuchos. Does the Gemara mean that the mekach is batal right away, or only once the woman dies the husband could be motzi miyad al kuchos, that only then the mekach is batal? Some of the rishonim say that the mekach is batal right away and it's not chal at all. There is no mechira at all, and it's tali va'omid. If the husband dies, the mekach is going to be chal, and the woman won't have any zechus in the karka because she has sold her rights in the karka. So if he dies first, that's what's going to happen. But if she dies first, then the mekach is not going to be chal at all. And the svara is that the Rabbanan made him like a lokeach rishon on the gufa karka, unless, I mean, he made the husband like the lokeach rishon on the gufa karka, unless he dies first, and then it's going to be a spara davul mafreya that he's not going to yarshner. However, the Rambam in the 22nd parak of Hilchos Yishus writes that the mekach is not batal right away. The zuchus of the baal to eat the peros remains as long as he's alive, but the guf hakarka actually does belong to the lokeach, and it's only after the woman dies that the guf hakarka can be taken away from the lokeach, and that's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Habal motzi, that's what that the husband's going to be able to be motzi miyad al kuchas, as Gemara says in the next line. Uch Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, and this is in line with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina buusha eskinu a takanas usha. One of the takanas mitrabanan is heisha shemachar minichse melug umesa, that if a woman sells her nichse melug and dies, habal motzi miyad al kuchas, the husband can be motzi miyad al kuchas, which sounds like the Rambam, that there is a lekuchos, there is someone who owns it, and the husband has the ability to be motzi from that person who owns it. That's what it sounds like. Aval hecha de zavinu travayu, the Gemara continues, but when they both sold it, li'alma, to somebody else, inami zavni ilididei, or for that matter, if she sold it to him, which was really the case that we were discussing initially, zvina zvini, that is a binding sale. So yes, haraya yesh, if the husband brings haraya, that he's actually the owner of the property, so that raya is going to mean something. The Rashba, the Ram, the Rush, the Tur, all explain that the Lashon of Motzi, that the husband could be Motzi, because like we said, it sounds much more like the Rambam, the Lashon of Motzi, that the sale was binding, and the husband is Motzi from the Lokech. They all say it doesn't mean that the Mecher is Chal, that it's after the woman dies, the Baal is Motzi, it doesn't mean that after the husband dies, he takes away from the Lekuchos who owned it until that point. It's that the Zechus of the Lekuchos is Tali Va'o, made. We don't know whether the guy who bought it is going to have any rights. If the husband dies first, then Eino Chinami, the guy who bought it, will be the owner of the karka. If the woman dies first, the husband is going to be the owner of the karka. So that's why we say motzi. Motzi means that he's taking it away from that sort of no man's land, from that that state of suffix where we don't know what the deal is with this property. The Ritva explains Lashon Motzi in two other ways. First, he says it could be that we're talking about where he said Dinu Dvarim Ein Libin Chsayich, where as long as she's alive, it stays in her Rashus, and that's why it's Lashon Motzi, because he's taking it now for the first time. Or it could be that Lashon Motzi is Lav Davka, it's Motzi Midei Zechusan, similar to what the Rashba said. Now, the question though is, L'may Naf Kamina, what difference does it make if the Mecher is Batel right away, or no, it's Chal, and then when the woman dies first, then it's batal. Then the husband gets it. Either way, so long as the wife is alive, the husband's continuing to eat the peros and does not yet own the guf hakarka. As soon as the wife dies, the husband will become the owner of the guf hakarka. So what difference does it make whether the guf hakarka is biyada lekuchos while the wife is alive, or biyada isha while the wife is alive? So that is the kasha that the Prisha raises in Choshen Mishpat, and he suggests that there are several nafkaminas. One nafkamina might be legabe prusbul. We paskin ye'ein kosum prusbul, and you only write a prusbul for someone who has karka, and therefore, meaning only if the borrower has karka, can you write a prusbul. So according to the Rush, the Mekach is batal right away. It's considered that the Baal has karka. According to the Rambam, he doesn't have karka. Or in another possible situation where you don't know if the Baal died before the woman and the Lukuchos or Zocha, or the woman died before the husband and the Baal is Zocha, and therefore his Yorshim are going to get it. That if the karka, so who's the karka Becheskas? You have to go with the Chazaka if you don't know who died first. So if you assume the karka is Becheskas or Lukuchos, it's the Yorshe Baal's job to bring a raya that it's otherwise. And if it's Becheskas HaBaal, then it's the Lukuchos' raya, or the Yorshe Lukuchos' job to bring a raya that it belongs to them. So that might be another nafkamina, whether the Guf HaKarka actually belongs to the Isha, or the Guf HaKarka actually belongs to the Lukuchos while the woman is still alive. Another possible nafkamina, the Drisha writes, based on the tour, what the tour says in Chosh Mishpat Sim Reshid Beis, in the name of the Rambam, that there's a difference between someone who sells a karka leperol seha and someone who sells a karka for a specific period of time. Meaning, I could sell you my karka for the rights to the peros of the karka, but I keep the gufa karka, or I could sell you my karka for the next 2 years, that this will be yours for the next 2 years. Someone who sells karka leperoseha, the lokeach is not allowed to do anything to change the actual gufa karka. He's only allowed to eat the peros that the karka produces. But if I sell you the karka for a zman kotzu, for a specific amount of time, the lokeach during that time could do whatever he wishes in the karka. He could destroy things, build things, uproot things, plant things, whatever he wants. So it could be the nafkamina is that according to the Rambam, the gufa karka belongs to the lokeach. So it turns out that the Baal only has the zchus peros, and therefore the lokeach could be mocha and the husband, that he's not allowed to be bona or soser or do anything. But according to the Rush, that the gufa karka is biyada Baal, the Baal is able to do all these things, and the lokeach is not able to be mocha, because since he owns the gufa karka for X amount of time, until he dies, and the koach Baal is even greater than someone who buys a karka for X amount of time, because he might be the permanent owner. We just don't know yet. Depends who's going to die first. So that might be another nafkamina being in this machlokas between the Rambam on the one side and the Rush and so many other Rishonim on the other side, in terms of whether the mekach is chal at all. But going to the very root of this takanas usha, they made this takana in usha that a woman who sells her nichse mulug and dies, that the husband has the right to take it from the lukuchos. Why? What is the gedder of this takana? So the Ktsos in Siman Kuf Gimel says that we could be medayik from Rashi and Baba Kama and Daf Peches, that it doesn't mean that they made it as if the husband has purchased the guf hakarka mechayim. That that's not the gedder of this takana's usha. That the Rabbanan said, oh, and when the woman sold the nichsei melug, we view it as if the husband is really the buyer of the actual karka while they were both alive. No, it means that just like the man diyamar kinyan peres kikinyan aguf, the din is that the baal has the kinyan aguf. He's not according to the shita, the kinyan peres kinyan aguf. The din is that the baal kinyan aguf is not able to sell the guf. The Rabbanan were misakin that kinyan peros that the husband has in nichsei melug is going to be strong enough, like the shita, the kinyan peros kinyan aguf, that the baal is able to be ma'akev, that she's not allowed to sell the nichsei melug. Meaning it's such a strong formulation, that's what Usha was misakin, such a strong formulation of kinyan peros kinyan aguf, that since the husband has a kinyan peros in the nichsei melug, that kinyan peros is so much like a kinyan aguf that the person who actually has the kinyan aguf is unable to sell the kinyan aguf. That's the gedder of this takanas usha, that he has the ability to prevent the kinyan aguf. The avne miluim quotes a reason in the name of the Shita Mukbetzes why they made this takana, that if they don't make this takana, then no woman is ever going to leave her husband with anything. She'll give everything to her children, to her brothers, and therefore the chamor mesakin that the husband could be melsi miyad al kuchos, because every woman will just be able to tell her brother or her child, for $1 I'll sell you all of my karkaos, and then the husband will be left with nothing. So in order to ensure that the husband will be left with something, that's why they made this takana. Then the Avnei Milum says another reason in the name of the Yerushalmi, that we don't want a woman to be mavrachas nechasim shel baila, to sell them and say that they're mine, and therefore they were misakin that even the nechasim she's not able to sell. But the basic idea is that we don't want her to keep things away from the husband. Okay, so back in the Gemara now. So says the Gemara, so we had one kasha on the idea that haraya yesh, that the husband, if he has a raya that he bought his wife's property, that he is believed. And the kasha was from a meimar, that a meimar had said that an ish v'isha shemach min nechse milug are lo asu v'lo klum, that a man and a wife that sell the nechse milug, it's a worthless sale because we assume that she was just doing nachas ruach lebaila. So first answer we had was that to that question was, no, we misunderstood Amemar. The Amemar was talking about where she sold it to another person, that he can take it away, or he sold it to another person, she can take it away. The Iba Yisem of the Gemara says, or maybe Amemar Damak Rav Lazar, maybe we did understand Amemar correctly the first time. And maybe what Amemar meant to say is exactly what we thought he meant to say, that a man and a woman who both sell the same Nechsei Melug, meaning a man sells his wife's Nechsei Melug, the buyer then goes to the wife and convinces her as well to sell that nichsei melug. They both sell the same nichsei melug, that the sale is not binding because we assume the woman didn't really want to sell it. She was just making her husband happy. And therefore, if the man would buy the nichsei melug from his wife, we assume the same thing. With all the rayas in the world, l'chora, it shouldn't help. She was just trying to make him happy. Aye, but we said haraya yesh, that if the husband has rayas that he bought it, that it does in fact belong to him. Yeah, it's machlokas tanaim. And Meimer was assuming like the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. We're assuming like the shita of the chachamim, because this is in fact a machlokas tanaim. Where do we find such a machlokas tanaim? In an entirely different halacha, in a halacha called yomo yomayim. The halacha is that if a man owns an eved and he strikes the eved and the eved does not die immediately from the hit that the master gave him, but rather he survives yomo yomayim. Over here, yomo yomayim doesn't mean one day or 2 days. It means a 24-hour period. Then the master is not going to be chayiv, as Tosus points out over here. Yeshnu b'din yomo yomayim ein lakshos hashra b'amidas yomlo yukam kol shkin b'yomayim. If the halacha applies after 24 hours, of course yomayim. Of course after 48 hours, to Rashi Pirush Parshas Ve'la Mishpatim Ezu Yom Shuki Yomayim Av Yomer Me. me'es la'es, that a yom that's like yomayim means me'es la'es. When we say yom yomayim, Rashi and Chumash tells us it means a 24-hour period. Why is a 24-hour period considered yomayim? It's not 2 days. So 24 hours is 1 day. So it's considered yomayim because almost always, if you have any given 24-hour period, it spans the course of 2 days, of two calendar days. The only way to get 24 hours to be exactly on one calendar day is if you start that the clock at exactly the turn of the day, at exactly that moment. That we're not able to be mitzamtzim, you know, exactly when that heref ayin of where it turns from one calendar day to the next. So it almost always spans a period of 2 days. So anyway, so we're going to see that there's a machlokas tanaim about this very issue, whether a husband has a raya b'nichsei ishto. How do we see the machlokas? Titania, the Brisa tells us as follows: Hamocher savdo, if a guy sells his eved, upasak imo sheisham shenu shloshim yom, and he makes a deal with the eved that I want you to still work for me for 30 more days, even though he sold the Eved. So before we get to the actual opinions, Tosfos points out, we're trying to set up a case where you have a Kinyan Peros and not a Kinyan Aguf, right? So we're saying, oh, you already sold the Eved, but he's still got to work for you for 30 days. So that's a Kinyan Peros. So what you have for the next 30 days is a Kinyan Peros and you have not a Kinyan Aguf. Says Tosfos, isn't there a simpler way to set up a case where someone has a Kinyan Peros in the Eved? Why not just say you sold your Eved for the Peros, meaning you didn't sell the Guf HaEved, you sold the Peros that the Eved produces, the work that he produces. In fact, the Maseches Gittin, that's exactly the case we say when it comes to selling a field. It's not normal to do that by an Eved. By a field you might do that, but you don't sell an Eved for the Peros. If you want someone else to be able to enjoy the Peros of your Eved and you want some money for that, it's called renting. You lease him out, or you rent him out, and someone else will pay for the rights to use that Eved. But it's unusual to sell him for the Peros. So that's why the Brisa sets up the case, Dafka, where you sold the Eved, the Gufa Eved. You're keeping the Peros for the next 30 days. So what you have during that 30-day time period is a Kinyan Peros in the Eved. Four shitas in the Brisa. Number one, Ramei Ramei Rishon Yeshan B'din Yom HaYomayim Mibrei Shu Tachtav. That the first guy has the din of Yom HaYomayim, meaning the original owner who has this Eved for the next 30 days does have the din of Yom HaYomayim because the Eved is still Tachtav. The Eved is still under his control for that period of time. Vasheni Eino B'din Yom HaYomayim Mibrei Sheino Tachtav. The second guy does not have the din of Yom HaYomayim because he is not Tachtav. The Eved is not Tachtav. So Kasavar Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguftami, that we assume that the Kinyan Peros is like Kinyan Aguf, and that's why the first guy who has the Kinyan Peros does have the din of Yom HaYomayim. So very clear that according to Rameir, Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguf, it's only the first guy is considered the Bailim. The second guy is not considered the Bailim. The Ktsos raises the question that if you look at Maseches Baba Kama and Afayin Aleph and Beis, Rameir holds like Rabbi Shimon that Dover Agorim Lamamun is Kamamun Dami. So why would Rameir hold in our Sugya that this Sheni is not at all a Bailim? Even if you say that since Kinyan Peros Kinyan Aguf, the Rishon is considered a Bailim, but after 30 days, the Eved will belong to the Sheni. So Legabi the Sheni, the Eved's at least a Davar Hagorim Lamamon. Davar Hagorim Lamamon means something that may not be worth anything to me right now, but I know that if it were gone, I'm going to lose money. If this were destroyed, if this were taken away, ultimately I'm going to lose money. So he's someone who's in line to own this Eved starting 30 days from now, forever. So if this Eved were gone, he would lose a lot of money. So why isn't the Eved also considered the Mammon of the second guy because of Davar Hagorim Lamamon? So that's the Kasha of the Ktsos. So the Ktsos suggests that the din of Davar Hagorim Lamamon Kamamandami is only when you damage the object that is the Gorim Lamamon. That's where you say that even though the Chefetz itself is not Mamon, it doesn't have any inherent value, meaning, for example, I have to give you back chametz that I borrowed from you before Pesach, and it happens to be now it's worthless. It's chametz shavra lev Pesach. So right now it's worthless, but I can just give you back what you gave me. Now that's a gorim lamamot for me, because if it's gone, if it gets destroyed, then I'm going to have to buy new one. I'm going to have to spend money. I'm going to have to buy something else to pay you back. That would be a davar a gorim lamamot. Something that the object itself is not mamon at all, but it is gorim lamamon, so we consider it like mamon. But it does not mean that the object itself is mamon. So the eved is not considered the mamon of the sheni, even if you'll davar gorim lamamon kamamdam, because the eved has inherent value. So you can't say that it's a davar gorim lamamon. The eved is worth what he's worth because of his inherent value. It's just that right now the sheni does not, his rights in the eved have not yet begun, but it's not that it lost all inherent value. So that's how the Ktzos suggests. The Zecher Yitzchak is quoted over here in the Yalkut Birim section of the Masifta, suggests a different possibility, that since within those 30 days the first guy has a Shem Bailim because of his Kinyan Peros, so his Shem Bailim has to be beats out the Shem Bailim that the other guy would get as a result of being a Gorim Lamamon, because his Shem Bailim is a result of what he has right now in the Eved, that right now he has a Kinyan Peros, whereas the Davar Gorim Lamamon Bailus that the second guy has is a future Bailus. So whatever is current is going to be more valuable than a future Bailus. So anyway, back in the Braisa. So the Braisa said, first Shita is Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds that the first guy has the Din of Yom Yomai and the second guy does not, because the first guy has a Kinyan HaPeros, and we hold Kinyan HaPeros is Ki Kinyan HaGuftami. Second Shita, Reb Yehuda Omer, Hasheni Yeshno B'Din Yom Yomayim Mipnei Shu Kaspo. The second guy has the Din of Yom Yomayim because he's the one that actually owns the Eved. It's just the first guy still using him for 30 more days. The first guy does not have Din Yom Yomayim because he's not his Kesef. He doesn't belong to him. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda is assuming that Kinyan Peros is not Kikinina Guftami. It's the one who actually owns the Gufa Eved that's really considered the Bailim. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, a third possibility. You would think that there are only two possibilities. Who's the rightful owner? No, Rabbi Yossi says, Shneim Yeshnon V'din Yom Yomayim. Both of them have a din of Yom Yomayim. Zeh Mipnei Shehu Tachtov V'zeh Mipnei Shehu Kaspo. You only need one or the other. One of them has direct control of the Eved right now because he is Tachtov, and the other one because he's working for him for the next 30 days, and the other one is the rightful owner of the Eved because he has purchased the Eved. So both of them have the din of Yom Yomayim. But what do? You hold Kinyan Peros, Kinyan HaGuftami or not? Says, explains the Braisa, Masafkalei, he's not sure whether Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guftami or not, and therefore the Safek Nefashos Lahakel. We're not sure. Should we be Mechayev Misa, the Bailim who hit the Eved like this? So the halacha is we're not sure if the Bailim, if either one of the Bailim has a din of Yom Yomayim, we cannot kill him. Safek Nefashos is Lahakel. If you look at Tosfos in Dibra Maskel Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Guftami, Kasha the Besof Hashleich Masak Apluk the Rebbe Reb Shimon the Kuli Alma Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guftami. That in the Gemara Maseches Gittin, when we have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we say everyone agrees Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guftami. Yeshalom Dasan Lo Kamar Al Demei Hachal Lakal Melef Mina. The Gemara doesn't really mean to say that everyone definitively holds anything. It's just saying that we can't bring a raya one way or the other from that sugya. Then the next Tosos, the Safek Nefashos LaHakel, Pirush Bekuntres Mishum Dechsiv. Why is it that Safek Nefashos LaHakel? So Rashi explains, because the pasuk says v'shaftu eida v'itzilu eida. So v'itzilu eida means that we do whatever we can not to have to kill somebody. We do whatever we can not to have to be mechayiv someone. someone misa. That's the idea of suffik nefashal stahakel. Says Tosus ve'in nira. The blav achinami lo kati misfeka. Da filu mamonolam of kinu misfeka. Tosus says it's so much more fundamental than that. Meaning the reason why we're makel in the suffik nefashals is we're even makel in the suffik mamon. Meaning when you're not sure what to do, you can't act. You have to be much more passive when you're not sure what to do, because it's much worse to act incorrectly than to sit back incorrectly. So if you're not even sure if someone owes somebody money or something, you know, we're not motzi the mamon out of the suffix. Of course, when it comes to nefashos, we're gonna say suffix nefashos lahakel. So that's the that's Tosis Kasha on the Rashbam's understanding of suffix nefashos lahakel. So how are we miyashiv the shitas Rashbam? Rav Elchanan writes in those Reish Chav Gimel and Reish Chav Dalet, based on what Tosis says in Maseches Baba Kama, that a rove works only in dine nefashos, doesn't work in dine mamonis. So Tosos writes, so it could be that to explain the Rashbam, Rashbam holds like that Tosos. So you can't learn mamon, the fact that we're not motzi mamon misafek, that we're not going to kill misafek, because sometimes Tosos is working with the assumption that nefashos is more severe than mamon, that if something is going to work to kill somebody, then for sure it's going to work for it to be motzi mamon. Not necessarily true. Rov, Tosos holds in Maseches Baba Kama, works for dine nefashos, but it does not work for dine mamonis. So apparently, in certain halachos, mamonis is treated more severely than nefashos. So yes, I know we don't say safek mamon luchumra, but maybe we should still say safek nefashos luchumra. That's why I need v'yitzilu eida to tell me otherwise. In Rav Yosef Engel in Beis HaOtzar points out that enough gemina between the din of Yitzilu Eida, where Bezin or someone else is over Vahoreg, the person that killed the Eved. Let's say Bezin does it. Is the Ptur, if the Ptur is like Tosos, that means Suffolk we shouldn't kill, so we could then say, okay, now whoever did kill the Eved is not Chayiv Misa for what they did, because me Suffolk they might have done the right thing, so me Suffolk we shouldn't kill, meaning maybe they were right in killing, so me Suffolk we still shouldn't kill. But if you say that it's a din of Yitzilu Eida like the Rashbam, it's a Gevaldika Nafkamina, the Yitzilu Eida is definitive, that this person is definitively not Chayiv Misa because there's a halacha called V'yitzilu Eida, and it therefore turns out that if someone did kill the master of this Eved, that person is a murderer, and therefore they should be Chayiv Misa in a definitive way. So that's what Yosef Engel points out, might be the nafkamina between the Rashbam and Tosos. It's not just academic, meaning it sounds that it's academic, because they're arguing why it is that suffering the fashal slahakel. But the why really carries with it a significant nafkamina. Then the Gemara, the Braisa quotes a fourth shita. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Shneim Einon b'din Yoma Yomayim. Neither of them have the din of Yoma Yomayim. Neither the first guy who's still hanging on to the Eved for another 30 days, nor the second guy who has purchased the full rights to the Eved, the full ownership of the Eved, and he's only going to take possession of him after 30 days. Neither of them have the din of Yoma Yomayim. What's the reason for Blazar? Amarkra lo yukam ki kaspo hu kaspo hamiyuchado. That it's necessary that he be kaspo hamiyuchado, and neither of them have that. For one of them, he's not kaspo, and for the other one, he's not yet miyuchado. So Rashbam points out in the fifth skinny line, umishum hachi nami yalav hamemer legabin etzim look, and that relates to. A Meimar holds like that sheet, the fourth sheet of Reb Lazar, that a Meimar holds the same is true when it comes to the Nechse Melug that the husband has of the wife. The kivan de inum yuchad lo leish velo leisha, it's not really the wife's and it's not really the husband's. Enu kari sadi ish velo sadi isha. It's considered to be nobody's. V'hilkach imachru shnehen mechram batel. And that's why Amemar said that if both the husband and the wife sell the nechse melug, a guy goes and buys it from the husband, and then he goes and he buys it from the wife, the whole mechar is batel. V'chol naksubam kadam amachra davashenu shalom delalavi mechar, and they could back out on that sale because neither of them had the right to sell it, because neither of them is really the owner of that property. Now Tosus and Dibra Maskel Reb Lazar raises the following question: Hiksha Riva, the Hechim Edami Amemra Mechira LeDin Yoma Yomayim. how can you compare the din of Mechira to the din of Yom HaYomayim? Dim kem shutvim lo yuchlum limkar liyolam. Da'amar ba'achovel man tana l'tan rabban mishchatsi ha v'chatsi ben choron v'chi evet shal shnei shutvim ein yotzim brashi avarim kiman krablazar. Vim kem achinami da'evet shal shnei shutvim ein yuchol l'machro. Meaning, if you really compare the din of Yom HaYomayim to the din of Mechira, so if you have an evet shal shnei shutvim, the halach is there's no din of Yom HaYomayim because neither one is the full owner of that evet. So do you mean to tell me if you have an evet shal shnei shutvim, they're never allowed to sell him? Partners aren't allowed to sell an evet. That's ridiculous. Partners own a property, they're allowed to sell the property. Partners own an evet, they're allowed to sell the evet. So we know by definition, it can't be that there's an exact parallel between the din of Yom HaYomayim and the din of Mechira. So Ameimar was talking midine Mechira. How does he bring a raya from Rav Elazar? He was talking midin Yom HaYomayim. Tulsa says a very important chiddush that there's two types of shutfas. One type of shutfas is we each own 50%. I own the 50% of the guf heaven, you own 50% of the guf heaven. The other type of shutfas is I own the guf, you own the peros. When we say that there's no din of Yom HaYomayim by a shutfas, what we mean is the kind of shutfas where I own the guf and you own the peros. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita, that there's no din of Yom HaYomayim, and that's an exact parallel to Mechira. There is no Mechira when I own the guf and you own the peros. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita by Nechsei Melug as well, that there's no Mechira. But if I own half of the Evet, half of the guf Evet, and you own the other half of the guf Evet, yeah, then there's a din of Yom HaYomayim, there's a din of Mechira. It's exactly consistent. The din of Yom HaYomayim and the din of Mechira works perfectly together. Okay, right in the Gemara. V'lo li'ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto. A man does not have a chazaka in his wife's nechasim. So now the Gemara is going to question that. V'amirav, eishas ish tzricha limchos. Didn't Rav teach us that a married woman has to make a macha'a if she wants to retain ownership? Biman, who are we assuming is taking possession of her property that she needs to make a macha'a against? Ilem ba'acher, if you think it's someone else other than the husband, an outsider, v'amrav ein machzikin v'nichsei eshesish, Rav already taught that there is no chazaka in nichsei eshesish, that someone can't come and develop a chazaka in a married woman's property, because she could always say, I thought my husband was going to make the macha'a. That's why I didn't bother making a macha'a. I just assumed that my husband was going to make the macha'a. So it can't be an acher. Elulav bibal. It must be that the husband is the one who's making the chazaka. And still we're saying that an eshes ish has to make a macha'a. Why would she have to make a macha'a? Apparently because the husband can develop a chazaka in his wife's property. So that's the question. How come our Mishnah says that a husband cannot develop a chazaka in a wife's property when Rav says that a husband can? So Amarav Liolam Bibal, you're right, we're talking about the husband, and he can develop a chazak in the wife's property, but not by, just by living there. He has to do more. If he's dug holes in the ground, he's dug caves in the property, something that's extremely damaging long term to the property, that's where he can develop a chazaka. And if the woman doesn't want the husband to be declared the owner of the property after 3 years, she better make a macha'a on that. Frak the Gemara v'amrav Nachman Rabaravua in chazak l'nizakin. I thought that there's no chazak for nizakin, meaning when you're mazik somebody else, you can never claim that you're the owner of it, even if you've been doing it for 3 years, because you were not machzik the machzik inshi. So the person would never think to make a macha'a, because you're not acting like an owner. An owner of a property doesn't destroy their own property, so you're not acting like an owner. You're acting like a hooligan. So that's why I didn't bother making a macha'a. So ema ein din chazak l'nizakin. No, we misunderstood. Ein chazak l'nizakin doesn't mean that no matter how long you stay there, you don't develop a chazaka. It means you don't have to stay for 3 years to develop a chazaka. Chazaka happens immediately when you're mazik a property. Because whereas if someone is living in your property, you'll have 3 years worth of patience before you'll say something about it or do something about it, you're not going to have nearly as much patience if someone comes in and starts damaging your property. So that's one answer to our question. Again, the question was, the Mishnah said that a husband does not have a chazaka b'nichsa yishto, but Rav says that the woman has to that the woman has to make a macha'a. So the woman has to make a macha'a if the way the husband is trying to be machzik in the property is through damage. Only then does she have to make a macha'a. Ibai Sema, another possible answer, we're going to have three in total. Ha'id mar Allah, Rav Mari Amar, Bukut Rav Zvid Amar, Bebeis Hakisei. When we say Ein Chazak L'Nizakin, it's Dafka talking about very specific types of Nizakin, that you bring very smelly things, like smoke and a Beis Hakisei, into the property. Rav Yosef Amar Liolam Bi'acher, that really we're talking about someone else that the woman has to make a macha'a against. I thought she could rely on her husband to make the macha'a. Ukagon Sha'achla, Mixas Chazaka B'chaya Abal, Ushalash Lachar Misas Abal. The Chazaka started while the husband was alive and then continued for 3 years after the husband died. Migo di Bari Amar Anaz Vinta Minach. Since the guy could have said, look, I bought it from you, Kamalei Nami Atz Vinta Lei Vizavna Ne'ali Mehemin. So to say you sold it to him and he sold it to me, so you'd be believed as well. And that's when the woman would have to make a macha, because otherwise the person is going to have a Chazaka in the Nechasim. Okay, Tomorrow we'll pick up with Gufa.